Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Oh, hi there.
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Becca.
And this is Binging with Benefits. And today is a little bit extra chaotic because we are in two separate locations. But you know what? That's what you're here for. You're here for the chaos. And if you aren't, then you've stumbled into chaos. Congratulations.
Welcome. You're absolutely welcome.
You're always welcome. We welcome anybody and everybody here. I am dog sitting. Her name is Pico. She's one, I'll shout her out. She's one of my friends, right?
She's so cute.
But she's finally decided she wants to join me on my lap. So there may be clips of her in the video portion of this. But so anyways, cute. We're good. Anyways, Becca sent me a bit of an unhinged voice note yesterday. Oh. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm absolutely here for this conversation.
Yeah. Okay. But the question needs to be asked. Well, actually, let me give you context first.
Yes. Always walk us back.
I know. Okay, let me let you into my brain. So yesterday, my mom had to text somebody that she had texted previously, and they would continue to text here and there. Like, this is a contact. This isn't like a one-time contact thing. So she texts this person, and she's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I need. And they were like, who is this? And I was like, okay, I feel like it's your responsibility as a phone owner to save a contact.
If you've been given the responsibility of owning a phone, you should be saving contacts.
I don't get it. Like, you know that I'm going to be reaching out to you at some point. You know, I'm going to text you randomly and be like, hey, XYZ. And you know you're expecting that. Why are you not saving contacts?
This is a recurring thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't understand. And then, like, you're deleting the text because then the thread's gone. You know, like,
is this person a man?
Yes,
of course. And therein lies the problem. No, yeah. I feel like I've been on both sides of this, on all three sides, where I've been the texter texting somebody and they haven't saved my number. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been the textee, where I have saved the number because I'm like, okay, I'm likely going to be talking to this person. Yeah. But then I've also been the textee who has not saved the number. But I don't delete the text thread.
No, I don't delete
It takes a lot for me to delete a text thread, period. Like, I have text threads in my phone still that I know I should delete, but I just can't.
Yeah.
So, like, for context, who is this? Like, who is mom texting?
It's work-related, even. So,
oh, my gosh.
Like, why are you not saving the contact knowing that, like, I'm going to reach out to you at some point?
Yeah. Especially if you're somebody who's like, this is a person. Okay. So without saying names, this is a person that our mom is related to professionally. And this is a person who she would be reaching out to if this person wants to work. Like,
yeah.
This is something, like, if this person actually wants to work, they would save their number.
Yeah, like, I was just like, I don't get it. Like, why are you not saving the number? Like, it just drives me crazy.
And I wonder, is it a generational thing? Like, who deletes their text threads that consistently?
I know.
Are there people in life who have, because I bet if I were to go to count all the text threads that I have in my phone right now, I'd probably have like, I'm really bad at estimating. So this is probably a really bad exercise for me. But I would say like at least 1,000.
Oh,
maybe 100 or something. Does that blow your mind?
No, that really does. Because actually, I was watching Bachelor in Paradise. It was a couple's challenge of like, how well do you know your couple? One of the questions was, how many unread texts does this person have? And it was like,
unread?
Unread texts.
That's a whole other level of insanity.
No, literally. And they're like, oh, it's more than 200. And I'm like, what? I'm so sorry. What? Like, on a normal basis, that's how you live in your life.
Text threads, not emails.
No, texts.
even the email people, I've gone on dates with people who I've seen their screen and I'm like, how on earth do you have 1,433 unread emails? Like, doesn't that red bubble drive you nuts? But like the text messages, first of all, who are you getting a text from that you don't want to read it from?
I know for 200, I don't know if they're different people, but like 200 separate texts that they are not reading.
I could see this happening in my life only because we have 1.5 million family threads.
Yeah, we do.
And I do have some of them muted. And then every once in a while, I'll pick up my phone and I'm like, why do I have 58 unread text messages? Like, but that's usually like, because someone's going off in the chat.
Yeah. Like today we're planning for our Halloween outfits and so we're back and forth. But like, this is like a normal thing for this person to have 200 unread texts.
How do people live like that?
I don't know. And if you live like this, how do you do it? Like, I'm genuinely asking you. I don't get it.
I'm trying to think of like why you would have unread text messages. I understand the unread emails.
Yeah, email.
I don't condone that behavior, but like I understand it. Yeah, it's for real. It stresses me out. Anytime I have a red bubble anywhere on my phone, it stresses me out. But maybe that's just anxiety.
I had to turn off the Instagram bubble thing on the phone because I was like, I will check it constantly. And I'm like, I don't want to be checking Instagram constantly throughout the day.
100%.
Yeah, I need to get rid of the red bubble. So I just don't have it anymore.
That's a good point, actually. So there was a documentary that I watched years and years ago on social media. And basically it's just talking about how we're like chained to our phones, which like honestly I'm still chained to my phone. I am not better than anybody else here, but I do have like all notifications turned off for all social media, so I never have red bubbles for any of that stuff. Sorry, I thought there was an earthquake for a second. We're fine.
Oh my gosh,
that actually I just felt my chair wobble and I don't know why. I'm not gonna check why either.
I'm not asking questions.
That's not in my business.
But exactly. It was you that had a job interview recently that there was an earthquake.
Yes.
During the interview. Just this last week, we had some people over testing, whatever. It doesn't matter. Our fire alarm went off on purpose. Like someone during pressed the interview. The button. During her interview. Like just... Oh, yeah, I would be a great fit for...
I know. Luckily, Teams technology is pretty good that this person said they couldn't hear the smoke alarm.
That's good.
Which was fine. And so, like, I moved on to the next round. The earthquake, that was the last interview I had with that company. So, I don't know. Because did I, in the middle of it, go, oh, shit, yes, I did.
Whoopsie.
Look, you get what you get with me. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I am capable of being professional. However, my nervous system is way too triggered to stay chill during an earthquake.
No, absolutely. No, earthquakes, they scare the crap out of me. I can handle something that's just like a little rattle, like, oh, was that an earthquake? I don't know. You know, whatever. I can handle that. But when it comes to like a big one, like the frames on the wall are shaking, I'm running outside screaming, which is like the worst thing you could do.
Zero chill in an earthquake. She should not live in Southern California.
No, seriously.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else either because I can't handle a tornado. You want me to stay inside when literally the world is spinning around outside?
Literally.
What? No. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, like,
yeah, no,
people who stay chill during tornadoes, I don't understand. But I guess maybe they understand, they feel the same way about earthquakes, because I mean, we are, like I said, I had an earthquake in the middle of an interview. I did curse in the middle of the interview, but then we went right back to business like nothing happened, because that's so just funny. Life in California.
welcome to Southern California, people.
We have seriously, I know, I get a little scared during earthquakes just because I feel like for me it's like I never know when it's going to be the big one, and they've been telling us the big one is coming for years and years and
since
years
elementary school.
Yeah, and so it's like I never know, so it's like, okay, is this as big as it's gonna get? Are we gonna get bigger?
Yeah,
I don't know.
is this the one that's going to break us off from the continent and then we become our own island?
Southern California, because Northern California is an entirely different thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Look, we just want to be on our own, guys. Leave us alone.
Don't have me.
Don't have
Everyone
me.
Feels like this. Everybody wants this.
Everybody wants this. Funny. Yeah, no. So no thank you to earthquakes. No thank you to unread text messages.
Yeah, no.
No thank you to the red bubbles in life. No. And please save the numbers. Like,
yeah. Like, why are you not saving phone numbers? Years and years ago when I had hope in dating. Years ago.
Oh my God.
But I was texting this guy and obviously like we were out of the app. And so I think we were texting. It was like a Tuesday and then it kind of just dropped off. But we had plans for a Friday. Conversation just kind of fizzled, but then it just never picked back up, which is fine. I'm not expecting that. But like we had plans for Friday and I was like, am I going to show up to this place and he's not going to be there? So I texted him and I was like, hey, like we still Are we on still or like this? What? And he was like, who's this? And I was like, okay, bye. I'm done.
See, this is what I was going to bring up, actually. In dating, I do not save names to phone numbers until after at least a first date.
Really?
Yes, because I don't know if you've seen this, but there's like some belief, and maybe this is my problem. I should be waiting longer to save names into phones for some reason. But they say that once you save a name to a number when it comes to dating, that is the kiss of death and you've now jinxed it and you're never going to hear from this person again.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And maybe that's why, I don't know. That's so for me, if I'm texting somebody, I also don't really save names. Like, am I superstitious or just a little stitious? Like, is it because of that? Like, but yeah, like I've had text messages from just numbers and I'm like, oh, if it's a 760, I know it's this person. Or if it's a 951, I know
that's
it's this
too
person.
Much work. Way too much work. You're like, if that's too much work for you, a relationship is not going to be. Not going to be in the books.
Look, I low-key hate that I am a lover, certified lover girly. I really do. I wish I was a cold-hearted bee. I really, really do. And I need more of that in my life. And I feel like I've got friends in my life that are going to help me do that, you included.
No, I absolutely am that person.
I still sit here and defend these men and my practices too much.
So funny. I know. I'm like, you tied your shoes weird. I don't like that. Bye. You're done. You know what? But honestly, you have to be picky. Not that picky.
Yes, you do.
But not that picky. I mean, I'm just going to say, I know that I'm very picky, but like my time is expensive. Okay.
Oh, yes. My time and energy is expensive and exclusive. I need to be better at practicing that part of that mantra.
You know, actually, I was just thinking about that this week because I was like, companies will literally pay influencers because they know you watch this influencer, that means that my time, my attention is worth money. So like, why am I not treating it like that? You know what I mean?
That is a whole other level. I'm like, I'm a little bit mind blown by that. And in a good way. Because really though, my brain went like, look, influencers make money. Like their time is worth money. But you went a step further and you're like, no, they're paid money because my time is worth money.
No, literally. Because if I didn't pay attention, influencers would not have a job. Like, that's the gig, is attention. You get paid for attention. You know what I mean? So, like, if I don't give you attention, you're not getting paid.
I love that so much.
So, hold like, why am second. I not spending my life like that? Of, like, my time is expensive.
Literally, people make thousands and thousands of dollars off of my time alone.
Literally, millions.
Well, how do we trade this? How do we then train this into we make that money off of our time?
Literally, I'm like, can I get the check? Because that's my time.
Me. My time is worth money. So you stop getting paid for my time and I get paid for my time.
Yeah, we all get the check. Everyone wins.
This is America. No one wins. I know.
Gosh. Look. Okay, wait, but really fast, there is a video of Trump, and I'm, this is not a bias, this is just what happened.
This is just with reporting the news.
I'm just telling the facts, okay? Because here's what happened. People are like talking about how, oh, Trump died or whatever, and then he had this,
yeah, that was a huge thing over the weekend.
Yeah, so anyway, so he shows up to this news conference thing and everyone's like, oh wow, is he actually gonna be there? Anyway, he's alive, I guess.
He's still there.
But during, I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't know this, but during this press conference, somebody asked him a question about how there's a video going around on the internet of somebody in the White House on the front lawn is
opening
the window and throwing garbage out.
Just chucking things out the window of the White House.
Why?
I saw this video. It was on my FYP, and there was just, I think someone must have been at a restaurant or something. I don't know if you've seen the video clip, but it was like, someone was at a restaurant and they're like, it sounded like a restaurant. I don't know for certain. But then they're just zoomed in and there is a person just chucking black bags and things out the window of the White House. And everyone's like, yes. What is happening? And this was all during the, like, everyone thought Trump was unwell thing. So yes. They're like, what's going on? Why? Yeah. What is happening in the White House right now?
Literally chaos. But I was watching, Stephen Colbert covered it. And it was so funny because he's like, what the heck is this video? And then, you know, it cuts to the press conference of Trump explaining, I put in quotations. And he says, oh, well, that's just AI. That's just AI.
What?
Somebody did that. Somebody, you know, AI, it's crazy what they can do with AI. What he said, and I quote, if something bad happens, you can blame it on AI. It cuts back to Stephen Colbert, and he's like, oh, okay, so is this you blaming AI right now because something bad happened?
I swear.
Like,
look.
The PR is not working in the office right now.
The PR is not PRing. That man does not know what PR means. There's nothing. He's got people paid to give him PR just for him not to listen. Like, it's fine. Really. Very successful press conferences. Amazing press conferences. And visited a very beautiful golf course that I own. So,
yeah. Amazing. I'm not being political. I'm just stating facts.
Exactly.
Let's just say that, okay?
We're just reporting the news.
I am just repeating what I saw.
How did we get here?
Literally.
We opened this and Becca and I were like, gosh, what do we have to open this? Well, you don't have an opener to talk about. I was like, let's just yap. And this is where we ended up.
I know. I was like, oh, let's just see. Because I was like literally like looking around my room like, do I have anything to talk about? No.
Yes. Guess what? We definitely do.
I have plenty.
We will figure something out.
Well, something else that we really love is this documentary I saw.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
You guys, this is a wild ride. If you... Okay. Let me just... anyway, okay. So this movie is called Sweet Bobby, My Catfish Nightmare. This is on Netflix. It is a roller coaster. So, buckle up. We have our main gal. Her name is Carrot. And she is an Indian, not carrot, but like K-I-R-A-T.
So oh, okay. I was like, carrot?
not carrot, like the vegetable. She is an Indian British woman. She grew up in the UK. Her parents are from Kenya, which I didn't realize this, but like there's an Indian community in Kenya.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So that's where her parents are from, but she is born and raised in Great Britain. So she's 32 at this point. It's 2011. She's in a long-term relationship and she's just kind of like waiting for him to pop the question. So she's getting really frustrated with this guy. So she's in a relationship, but also like, is this going somewhere? Because I want a family. Yeah. I want to get married, you know. And her parents are like, you're 32. You need to be married, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So this guy, Bobby, adds her on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And Bobby is married and he's very well off. He is living his best life.
Yeah.
He travels a lot. He's a cardiology consultant. So her cousin Simran, who's a teenager, we'll say, is dating JJ, who is Bobby's okay. younger brother.
Okay.
So she's kind of like, I know who this guy is. Like, I have an idea of who this is, yeah. but I don't know him.
And he's married and she's in a serious relationship.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So one night in 2011, she goes to a club in Brighton for mm-hmm. a hen weekend. I love that they call it a hen weekend, by the way. So cute.
What do they call the men's weekends? Is it just stag?
Yeah, stag. That's it.
Oh, okay. Why is it go? Why stag and hen? Sorry. I'm asking you questions don't you know. Don't know the answers to.
I don't know. That's a really good question, though. She was out at some club dancing with her girlfriends for a hen party. And she sees Bobby from across the club. And she goes, oh, my gosh, random, you know, because like this guy lives in London and they're in Brighton. And so she's like, yeah. I'm going to go say hi, obviously. So she goes up to him and, hey, Bobby. And he's like, hey, you know, like looking at her like kind of confused. And she's just like, okay. you know, we're friends on Facebook. And he yeah. just kind of was just like, I'm not following. And she was just yeah. like, oh, okay, well, like he's probably drunk. The music's loud. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to embarrass him further. It's fine. Like I'm.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. You're just like, okay, fine.
They had been like chatting back and forth throughout mm-hmm. this 4 months, but prior to her seeing him, just like, you know, very friendly banter.
Wait, they've been chatting back and forth and then he doesn't know her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Like he's a little confused.
Yeah. Okay.
Curate. She is growing her marketing career. She's doing like big events with celebrities. Like she is girl bossing so Slay. Hard. So close to the sun. We love it. She's living her best life. Her and Bobby would talk about like work and life. At some point, she gets a message from Bobby saying, my wife cheated on me and we're getting a divorce.
What?
Yeah. So she's like, oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty heavy, you know?
Have they gotten to a place where it's like it makes sense for him to be telling her this?
Semi? Okay. I mean, like, it's like light chat. And then like, by the way, this happened.
By the way, I'm getting a divorce. Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, well, since he opened up, I'm going to share with him too. And so her then boyfriend, they have been on and off since she was 18 years old. They talked about marriage and then he was like, yeah, never mind. I'm done. So they broke up. We're good.
So they've been on and off since 18 and she's now 32.
Mm-hmm.
That is a patient freaking woman. What the crap is she doing?
I know. So she's like, well, I wanted to, you know, have kids. I want to get married. So like, yeah. if this isn't happening with you, I'm done.
Oh my gosh. That's so heartbreaking.
So her and Bobby are talking for a little bit and then it just kind of like, you know, fizzles off and he comes back after like a year. So a year goes by. They're not really chatting all that often, but he comes back after a year and he goes, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I have some good news. I'm engaged.
Oh, congratulations. Like, why?
I know. Like, why are you telling me this stuff? Really big life events. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I kind of thought there was something here, but like, maybe not, you know?
Okay.
And then also she was thinking, wait, it's been less than a year since you left your wife. Like, how are you doing all this? You know, not even just like legally, but like, you know, mentally.
As we know, that's not a problem for some people.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so Bobby is like, hey, I'm engaged to my fiance, Sanj. And he goes, I really want you to meet her. And she's like, oh, okay, great. Like, and so they invite her to the wedding.
Okay.
They invite her to the wedding, but for whatever reason, she could not go.
Carrot wasn't able to go.
Yeah, Carrot. Sorry,
I don't know how to say her name.
Carrot, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I think it's, no, it's, I think it's more like a Kira, like Curate.
Oh, Curate. Okay, Curate.
Yes. I think that's how more. Carrot. I'm like, all right.
I wasn't even trying to be funny there. I just, that's all that's my name. Okay.
Oh, gosh. So
Curate wasn't able to go.
hear it, was not able to go. So, it was in Kenya. Maybe that's why. It was in 2012. Might have a factor of why she was not able to go. Yeah. So time goes on. She stays in touch with him, but like very casually, like she'll comment on pictures, you know. She has this radio show that she does on Thursdays.
She is absolutely crushing it.
She is doing everything. Like, she is hustling. She has Facebook open while she's doing her radio show, because that's how she get, like, people would say, oh, can you shout out so-and-so on the show? So she's got Facebook opened and she's scrolling and she sees a post from Sanj saying Bobby has been shot 6 times in Kenya.
What?
Yeah. He's in a coma and is in critical condition.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, wow, I still have to finish my show after hearing that news. Like, yeah. So, you know, somehow she finishes and she goes home and she just immediately calls Simran, because obviously Simran's dating JJ.
Bobby's brother.
Yeah. Simran says, because of this incident, he's now in witness protection program.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to be in New York. So that's where he's moving to.
Okay. And he's leaving his wife in Kenya?
No. Like, his wife's going to.
Okay.
So skeptical already. I love it.
I mean,
we obviously know how this goes.
This catfish Bobby. So.
So he goes to New York. And at the time, I guess Kenya is like insanely dangerous at the time.
Okay.
You know, he had a bad business deal. And it's not super uncommon that you would get shot, which is so insane.
That there would be guns involved. Anytime I've heard of any safari gone bad, it's always been in Kenya. So
I know.
That tracks.
So Bobby friends Carrot from a new profile on Facebook.
Okay. Is he still named Bobby?
And it's just B and then like a random last name.
Okay. So, that's definitely not enough to be in the witness protection program.
No,
that's
definitely not.
And that's also not how that works.
No. So she says, like, oh, well, if I'm caught talking to him, like, I could be in trouble, because if this is witness protection. She says that he was suicidal. And so she's like, okay, let's keep in contact. Like, so then he says,
it's just so Curate sounds like she's also a certified lover girly. And I feel that pain.
She definitely is. Bobby is like, you know, Sanj and my marriage is not working, so we're gonna get divorced.
Okay.
So they're both pretty broken about like her past relationship and then this, now his second divorce in a year. Two
in a year. Oh my God.
Like, I don't know how long this time. I think it's been at least maybe a year or 2 years.
Okay.
But relatively soon. Okay, so now enters a new character, Yashvir, who is Bobby's cousin.
Okay.
And Yashvir friends Kirit on Facebook. Yashvir is kind of giving updates to Kirit about Bobby, about his situation, and like, you know, oh, he's witness protection, blah blah blah, this is what's happening, you know. I don't know, it's ridiculous. Oh, and then there's another person, Rajvir, who's a friend of Bobby's, who's chatting with Kirit.
Okay, Yashvir and Rajvir. Okay. I'm just surprised that there's two people that know each other that with that close of names.
I know. I don't know how common those names are. And
that's the thing is, I don't either. So I'm like, that's just so funny that they're both in this story so close to each other.
Yeah, no idea. So she's been talking to Bobby now for 4 years. Bobby's healthy again and great. And Bobby all of a sudden says, I love you. I'm in love with you.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Men be like, what?
Yeah, literally. Like, I'm still alive. Also, I'm in love with you. While he says, oh, I'm in love with you, he's like starting to message like, hey, I can't feel my thumb. And I think I'm having
this man is treating our poor friend Kirit like she is WebMD and ChatGPT all at once.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think I'm having a stroke.
Oh my God. Call an ambulance, sir.
I know. Why are you messaging me on Facebook?
Hi, I'm on Facebook talking to a woman I've only seen in person once, and I've just admitted that I love her so much, but also I think I'm having a stroke. You should do something about it.
So then she starts getting a message from Rajvir that Bobby is in a hospital, and he sends a picture of Bobby in the hospital saying, like, hey, he's dying.
Oh my God. Okay.
Like, can you record him a voice message and I can play it for him? And this will be the last time he hears your voice, essentially. Of course, she's bawling her eyes out, and she sends like the sweetest message of like, oh, I'll never forget you. I wish we could have been something, you know, just like all everything.
Oh my God.
Bobby manages to pull through.
I mean, duh.
Obviously.
Oh, so, this is making me so angry.
Oh, just you wait.
It's gonna get so much worse, I'm sure.
Yep. So because of the stroke, he is paralyzed on his left side and loses the ability to speak because his vocal cords got damaged.
Are you kidding me right now?
Look, this person is really smart. Why can I never get on the phone with you? Why can I never prove to you that I'm a real being with talking to you? Oh, I had a stroke and my vocal cords are damaged.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure it could happen, but I don't know how, like, how.
I'm sure it could, but it's just so convenient.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But miraculously, of course, he can still message her. So on Valentine's Day.
Can't feel his thumbs.
On Valentine's Day, he sends this very romantic message, and she says after that message they were in a relationship. So I don't know.
I'm sad for her,
but I'm also being so self-reflective right now, like, would I believe this crap? And I'm so terrified that the answer is yes.
That's so funny.
Oh no. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
Okay, so they're in a relationship. She says she starts to fall in love with him. They're talking about kids and marriage, and she would send him voice messages and he would text back because again he can't talk. Yeah, so reminding you, she has only ever met him once in Brighton in person.
And he had no idea who she was.
And he was very confused. But she is like enamored with this man.
Of course. Oh my God. My heart is so bad for her.
So he proposes and she accepts, obviously.
Wait, he proposes? So they've never even gone on a date.
And he's in New York and she's in London.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so she's now 36 and both of them want kids. So she's like, yes, let's get married quickly. I want to start a family. They're sending wedding venues back and forth and like links to rings. And they're like, oh, like, does this one look good? You like this one? Mom is absolutely ecstatic, but they're under strict instructions from Bobby to not tell Kirit's dad yet because Bobby wants to come to New York to talk to dad in person. And Kirit and Bobby would Skype, but no video.
Wait, then who's talking?
So she would speak and he would just tap every once in a while and they'd fall asleep on the line.
What the hell?
Uh-huh.
She would speak and then he would just go.
Yeah, I guess. And they would fall asleep on the line, and when he would begin to speak, it was a very strained whisper, very coarse whisper. So it's Father's Day. And he receives a message from Sanj, his ex-wife, saying that she's pregnant with his baby.
What?
Yes.
God. Wait, so, this is second wife, Sanj?
Yes.
And how long ago did they get divorced?
I don't even know. At least a year. This was before that Bobby and Kirit had gotten together. Bobby says, oh, I slept with Sanj like 7 or 8 months ago before we were together. She's kind of like, okay, well, now what? You know, now my boyfriend's having a baby with another woman.
My fiance is having a baby.
Yes.
With another. Oh my God.
Simran, the cousin, is kind of a support to her. And she's, you know, asking her for help because she knows Bobby a lot longer than Kirit has known him. And so Kirit decides, okay, fine, you have a kid, but like, that's fine. That's great. Well, I'll raise him as my own. But like, I don't want Sanj in my life.
Yeah, no. Her. I mean, well, okay, first of all, this woman is now discovering boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, apparently.
Kirit, I was rooting for you.
I know. This is when all of her family starts to kind of question, like, this is all really weird.
This is when they start questioning?
Yes.
This is the moment.
Yeah, this is when. This is the breaking point.
Not the fact that their daughter and sister and cousin has never met this man in person, let alone, first of all, does no one in this family know how to use the internet? Like, apparently does no not. One know how to use the internet in this family? Like, as two sisters who are very much FBI agents.
Oh, absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
They're not Googling this man? This is late enough in the literally. 2000s that they could have been finding some stuff on this man.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sanj gives birth to a baby boy in 2015.
Okay.
Her and Kirit and Bobby were talking like baby names, like baby clothes.
Why was Kirit looking to name the baby?
I don't know.
Okay, at this point I no longer relate to this woman.
Like, this is,
I feel like a long time ago I stopped relating to this woman.
Yeah.
But like, what?
Yeah. Then she starts to get pictures of Bobby's son in clothes that Kirit would pick out.
Okay.
They're still in New York, by the way. So
and she's
Raj,
still in London.
Yes.
Why hasn't this woman flown to New York? That's not that long
know.
Of a flight. And it's,
no, it's
she's
not.
Making money.
Mm-hmm.
This okay, gosh. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Raj, one of Bobby's contacts, is like working with witness protection, apparently, to get Bobby home. Because that's how that works.
Bobby home to Kenya or to London?
To London.
Okay.
While all this is going on, Simran accepts a job in New York. And so Kirit is like, great, you're going to New York.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Bobby for something of his, and I want you to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Simran brings back a shirt that is like covered in his scent or whatever.
Simran does? Oh, wait. Simran is dating JJ.
Yeah, Simran is her cousin dating Bobby's brother.
Brother.
JJ.
Okay.
Simran comes back from New York with a t-shirt and it smells like him.
People are sick.
No, it's insane. Come to find out, witness protection said no. You know, you can't leave New York.
My mom said no.
Yeah, my mom said no. The stress of all this is way too much for Bobby. And so he's fragile mentally. And so she's just like, I have to be there for him. So they'd be on the phone and she wouldn't want to wake him up. So she'd like quietly go to the bathroom and then he would message like, hey, where have you been? Like getting upset that she left, you know, for a few minutes. Anyway, just getting very possessive. This is what she says. For so many days, she would wake up, send him a morning picture of like, hey, I'm up, go to work, come home, Skype with him and fall asleep on the line. And then day after day, that's what she did every single day. And her, oh like, God. They have photos, they show the photos, and you can tell that she is slowly very sick.
Yeah.
Like, in so many different ways, she's very sick. And she's very lifeless.
This situation is literally sucking the life from this woman.
Absolutely. She's obviously loses it at Bobby because she's just like, you're being so demanding. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
And her family is like, this is not healthy.
How long have they been engaged at this point? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
Maybe a year? I really don't know.
Oh my God.
Kirit would be on the phone with Fife, and then she would get a message from Bobby saying, why are you talking to them? This is our time to Skype. Why are you talking to them? Like, you're wasting our time together.
Ugh.
Talking to someone else. Yeah, she ends up like quitting her job.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like sucking the life out of everything. So around the same time, she gets the news that grandma, who she's very close with, is sick and she passes away, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh.
But because Bobby's being like so demanding, obviously, she's like, I can't spend too much time with my grandma because Bobby's getting mad at me.
Are you serious?
Yes. So grandma on her deathbed says, I'm sorry I couldn't wait to see you marry Bobby. Bobby says, I'm coming to her funeral. And the day of the funeral comes and he doesn't show.
Oh, surprise, surprise. What the crap is wrong with people?
Kirit is like, okay, you know what? This is it.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to come to the UK tomorrow. Or like, this is it. She's now 39.
Oh my gosh. This poor woman.
He sends her a flight number and she's tracking the flight number. So they decide to not meet at the airport and he needs to go drop his bags and like freshen up before they meet. Yeah. So he books a hotel near a hospital because, again, he's got some health issues, if you remember.
If I remember. There's lots of issues here, but yeah. Some of them are health.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's always an excuse of like, oh, well, you know, let's meet up tomorrow. Now it's been a few weeks.
He's been in London and she hasn't seen this woman.
I know.
I mean, I hate to victim blame. I don't want to victim blame because this is obviously a very sick mind that is messing with this woman. But this woman is obviously very broken herself.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad.
Oh, my God.
So she goes to the hotel that he's staying at and she gives Bobby's name and they, of course, cannot find him. So she calls Simran because she's just
He's in witness protection, Becca. It wouldn't be under Bobby. It would be under B. Bobby.
Yeah. It'd be under B, whatever his last name is. So she calls Simran to get some advice. And as she's talking to Simran, Bobby calls. And he says, I just need a few more days.
No.
Bobby now moves into his house in South Kensington. She goes to South Kensington. She's walking around his neighborhood of where he said his house was.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, I am outside your house and I'm not seeing you. And, I can see you. You know, like I can see you, but I'm not ready yet. So I'm not going to tell you where exactly my house is. Gosh. Yeah, Kira is like at this point is thinking, oh, he's back with Sanj and that's why he's avoiding me.
Okay, yeah.
So she Googles Sanj and she finds her phone number and she calls. Sanj answers the phone and says, Bobby, is that you? And Kira's like, oh, so obviously they are together. She looks up Sanj's house. She has Sanj's parents' house address.
Now she decides to be FBI. No. 7 years in.
Yeah.
And she decides now is the time to be FBI.
Yeah. So she goes over there and she sees Sanj come out of her parents' house, get in the car with the baby and drive away. She's losing her mind. She says she did something very out of character. And she said she hired a PI to find Bobby.
That's not out of character. That's smart, babe.
Yeah.
So if that's out of character for you, then being smart is out of character. Sure.
That's so sad.
I'm sorry. I'm like so frustrated at this point. 7 years.
No, literally. It's beyond frustrating. So the PI finds his address and gives it to Kirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Brighton. She's like, okay, well, I'm just going to show up to his house in Brighton. She gets out of the car. She goes up to the porch. She rings the doorbell. And then Bobby answers. And it's the guy in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the interviews, in walks Bobby, the guy from the photos, and sits down on the couch. And then Sanj is also being interviewed as well. So she comes and sits down on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And from her point of view, she says, we're not expecting anyone. So she goes to the door with Bobby with her son. And Kirit says, hi, Bobby. And Sanj is like, who is this woman?
Who's this? Yeah.
Yeah. And Bobby says, I have no idea. And so Kirit's like, just act like you don't know me. Cool. And he's like, I have no idea who you are. Kirit yells, liar. We have been talking for 8 years. There's calls, messages. You've given me gifts, like all this stuff. Sanj says, I have no reason not to trust my husband, Bobby.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not believing what this woman is saying. And yeah. Bobby's like, maybe you're mistaking me for my brother, JJ, because like we look really similar. It happens a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kirit goes, no, Bobby, I've been talking to you. She points at Sanj and she says, that's Sanj. And that's your son, you know, whatever his name is. And they're like starting to freak out.
Yeah. Cause they're like, this woman's insane. Yeah.
Like here she is showing up at our porch and she's telling us our names. Like, are we in danger? And so they start telling her like, okay, I need you to back up. I don't know you. You need to leave. And Kirit is like getting more and more upset. And she's like, you've been with Sanj the whole time. And then just then, as this is going on, Bobby calls Kirit.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
And then Kirit mentions Simran to Bobby. Like, well, you know, Simran, blah, blah, blah. And Bobby goes, oh, well, she used to date my brother like a long time ago.
She used to date my brother. They're not dating anymore?
Yeah, they're not dating anymore.
Oh.
So she's like, what the heck's happening? So she calls Simran and she's like, hey, I'm with Bobby. What's happening? And Bobby is like, let me talk to her. And so Simran says to Bobby, it's my cousin. She's just confused. Like, she's
what?
A little loopy. Like, just, you know, give the phone back to her. So he does. And Simran just tells Kirit to leave. Like, just go home. So they go. So Bobby and Sanj go inside and they deadbolt the door.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's banging on the door. They open the door just barely. And it's Kirit, obviously. Yeah. And she says, I know you stay at your parents' house. I saw you, Sanj. And Sanj is like, what is happening? Like, this is nuts. Like, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah.
And Kirit is like, well, that's my stepson. And like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just
oh my gosh.
And they're just like, what the heck is happening? And so she's on the phone with Simran trying to calm down. And she gets a message from Bobby saying, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have seen all that.
Wait, hold on. So after they've closed the door, then Bobby sent, quote unquote, Bobby sends a message. So like, she's not seeing Bobby anymore.
No. Yeah. She's like back in her car, gets a message from Bobby saying, you shouldn't have seen all that.
Oh my God.
She sends a message like, F you ruined my life. We're done. Like, I don't know what's going on, but like, this is over. The next day, Simran messages Kirit and says, oh, I spoke to Bobby. Bobby says he spoke to the police. And Kirit's like, oh, well, then I need to call the police and give my point of view.
Yeah.
And Simran's like, no, just wait. And then she hears a car pull up outside of her house. Mm-hmm. And she looks and it's Simran. And Simran comes to the door and she says, it was all me.
Simran admits to it.
Yeah. She's like, I've been Bobby.
For 7 years. Wait, yeah. Simran is her cousin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then she's realizing, like, well, what about Rajvir? What about Sanj? What about Yashvir? Like, all these people that reached out to Kirit from Bobby's life.
Yeah.
Were these all you? And she says, yes, all of those people were me. And then she says, who was I on the phone with for the last 3 years? And she says, me. Kirit kept asking Simran, like, why did you do this? Like, you ruined my life.
Yeah.
And Simran's like, well, you ruined your own life.
What the hell?
Yeah. Absolute no remorse. None. The real Bobby gets a message from Simran saying,
of course,
it was me. I need help. I'm sorry. Don't tell the police.
Don't tell the police, girl. I am reporting you the second I can.
No, literally. So he's like, yeah, fat chance. Good luck with your life. I'm telling the police.
Yeah.
Brighton police call Kirit and they say that Simran has confessed to the police. Now, Kirit needs to go and report this officially as a crime. The police tell her that the real victim is Sanj and Bobby, and there's nothing more that they can really do for her.
What?
Yeah. And she's like, but I was deceived into giving consent to so many different occasions and so many different contexts. Like, that means nothing. Like, I'm not following. And police, they're just like, well, we're not going to investigate, essentially. We're not going to do anything about it. So she does her own research. Kirit starts to download all the messages, all the timestamps, the photos, every profile she's ever talked to, just everything. But as she's doing that, the profiles are disappearing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Simran is going and deleting everything. So she's grabbing screenshots of anything she can. JJ had added Kirit on Facebook. JJ is Simran's boyfriend at the time, I guess.
Ex-boyfriend, yeah.
Ex-boyfriend, Bobby's brother. But that profile of JJ was fake. Simran and JJ really did date, but they broke up long time ago. Every character connected to Bobby was all Simran. She does a Google reverse search with images and finds the real people. And she notices that the characters were all commenting on each other's pages to make it look like it was real. But it was all Simran.
What did this... Does Simran not have a job?
I don't know.
Where is she getting the time and the energy to put this much effort into playing 52 different characters?
No, literally. This is what all that she could find was that there were 60 profiles.
Oh, 60. My gosh.
Yeah. 60. And all of them, of course, are fake.
How do you have that much time and energy?
And so she's like, well, what about the baby clothes I sent? Like, he would send me pictures of the baby in the clothes. And she's realizing that the photos of the baby already existed and were posted on Facebook by the real Bobby and Sanj. And Simran posing as Bobby was just like Uno reversing engineering her to picking those clothes.
This woman's insane.
No, seriously, insane.
What? This woman needs to be hospitalized.
No, literally, she's insane. So the real Bobby gets a call from a lawyer with a huge file of evidence of Simran pretending to be him. Mm-hmm. He said that scared him more than Kirit showing up to their house that one morning.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
It ends the movie and it says, to this day, Simran has not been prosecuted by police.
What?
Yeah. In 2021, Kirit received some compensation and a private apology from Simran.
Oh my gosh.
Kirit is now 44 and she's taking her life back. Simran was asked to participate in the documentary, but she says, quote, that this matter involves events that began when she was a schoolgirl. She considers it a private matter and strongly objects to what she has described as, quote unquote, numerous unfounded and damaging accusations.
Shut the hell up. Are you kidding me? You have a whole, file of proof.
Yes.
And then she's going to turn. That is such classic narcissism.
No, literally at its finest.
You ruined your own life. Oh no, yeah, I can't be held accountable for anything in my life because it started when I was a kid.
What?
I'm still not understanding.
What's the purpose
why?
Of that? Like, what kind of kicks and giggles are you getting from like doing this kind of nonsense to somebody's life?
Right. And in a romantic setting, even like this is your cousin.
That is so messed up. And it's a family member, too. Like, right. Yeah, it's not just somebody random. Like, this isn't like a freaking catfish situation. Like, we're freaking, what's that guy's name that goes on MTV to find? And it's just randomly. Yeah, like just random person you find on the internet. This isn't a Manti Te'o situation. This is you doing it to a family member. That's all kinds of screwed up.
It's so, so sad.
And so she's still, I mean, this to this day is still, do we have any updates as far as like anything beyond this documentary?
No, that's
so disgusting.
Isn't that insane?
That is so disgusting. Why do people like this exist?
I don't get it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's wild.
Do you recommend it as a watch though?
It's a fun watch. I would say just because I told you about it, you don't need to.
For anyone listening, maybe watch it if you want to. I won't, because it'll just make me more angry.
it's pretty insane.
Woo-wee. Well, great. Yes. Thanks for telling me about that. I remember Becca watching this and would hear things. It was like such a typical thing of like, you know, those things you see on social media where it's like husbands when you're watching reality shows and they're like, I'm not interested in this, but then they come in and they ask all these questions. That was me while Becca was watching these things on her laptop.
So funny.
I'm like, wait, what are you watching?
Yeah. I'm all, you'll find out.
I'm like, who's this person? Who's talking right now? She's like, just shut up.
I'm like, I'll tell you. So funny. With all this chaos, I am ready for a benefit.
Perfect. Okay. So I saw a TikTok because that's where we get everything, right? And there is a woman who is stitching another creator. And that creator is on there saying like, hey, I don't know what to do. Basically talking about being in the waiting period of her life. At what point do I stop waiting? Like, I'm in the waiting period. I'm waiting for this to happen. And like, it's not happening. What's going on? So this woman is like, I'm going to hold your hand while I say this, okay? Just because you're in the waiting period of your life does not mean that is not an actionable period of your life. The waiting period of your life is not meant for you to just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. The waiting period of your life is for you to take action, whether that's you need to be learning how to rest and trust the universe, or whether that's you need to be taking some kind of an action of like, doing the work. Like she talks about, you know, when it comes to, they say you have faith the size of a mustard seed, right? Like to quote religious text, okay? You have faith the size of a mustard seed. But there is also a second part to that, which we talk about in religion, you know, and not that this is a religious thought process or that this is something like religion is something I subscribe to, but like they say faith without works is dead. right? So just sitting there having faith, she's like, you know what, you quote it, because the creator was like, I have faith the size of a mustard seed and nothing is happening. And then this woman is like, okay, so you quoted religion. I'm going to quote religion to you. Faith without works is dead. There is an action that you're supposed to be taking in this waiting period. It does not mean just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. It's doing the thing you said you were going to do. At a certain point, there is a place for anger. And you can sit there and you can pray and you can cry and be like, why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? But at a certain point, you can pray and cry and be angry and be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to accept anything different anymore. I can say the same prayer over and over and over again, but you know what? I need to do something about this at this point. And so it's made me think a little bit about the period of life that I am in, right? And while I don't think that I am just sitting waiting, I'm definitely not just sitting waiting. Like, I'm still taking the action and I'm still doing the things and, you know, still showing up and putting in the work and taking the steps. It just made me think about the fact of, like, there's certain parts of me that sits there and thinks, like, woe is me, right? Like, this is happening to me. Mm-hmm. This is something I have no control over. But for some reason, hearing this video reframed it in my mind, because even though I'm sitting here, I'm not just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, I am, like, doing stuff and taking the action and trying to, like, better the situation as best as I can. It helped me reframe it in my mind of, like, I'm not just waiting. Like, I am sitting here taking action. And yes, some of those actions are taking a bit to bring forth some kind of result, but this isn't happening to me. It's happening for me. So it's just like something about the reframing of the waiting period is not a stationary period. The waiting period is something that is still very actionable. Mm-hmm. And so take the action that is necessary in that period.
No, it's good, because and yeah, I was actually just thinking about this yesterday, because I was like, I feel like ever since COVID, I've just put my life on pause in so many different ways and like just kind of like go through the motions of like life, I guess, or like, you know, jobs or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of just like in this rut of like, all right, well, now what, you know, like, and I'm asking that question, but I'm not like actively searching for, well, now what, you know, like I'm not out trying different things. I'm just sitting here thinking, well, now what, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nothing wrong with that, but like, I'm starting to feel like I'm twiddling my thumbs, because I'm just like, okay, I'm not really doing, not changing anything. I'm not doing much, you know, like I feel like I'm twiddling my thumbs. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should look into like going back to school, or, you know, like there's different situations where I'm like, okay, well, maybe if I just put some effort into this, maybe it'll answer some questions. Like, maybe that's not the right thing to do, and I'll try this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, and also, the rest thing is so big, because like, how many times in the day do we get to like, be like, okay, I am going to sit down and I'm going to rest, because that doesn't happen very often. And so like, even at when I'm falling asleep, I'm still thinking about crap, and I'm like, gosh, I turn my brain off. This is literally the time to rest, and I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So no, it's such a good reminder, because just like having that faith of like, you know, something is going to come, and whether that's, it's going to come to me, or I'm going to go out and look for this thing, it's going to come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is meant for you will not miss. It will never, ever miss you.
That is something that I've been repeating to myself over and over and over again for months now. It's just like, you know, what's meant for me doesn't miss. Like, if these things aren't working out, it's because it wasn't meant for me. And it worked out while it did, because I was meant to learn something from that, or I was meant to grow from that. And you said something that reminded me too. It's like, I don't know if you're familiar with, or if other people are familiar with, body mapping and body design. Like, I don't know if you've heard anything about this, but it's, and honestly, I don't know as much as I should about it. I've had it done once. Maybe I'll do a deeper dive on it and talk about it in a future episode. But like, it's similar. It's basically talking about who you are and like, who intrinsically, like what you are supposed to be doing intrinsically. And this, so there's like different personality types and things that, you know, your body works a specific way. And like, for me, I am a, what do they call it? A generating manifester, which basically it's like, in order for me to manifest things, I have to put in some steps for that to happen, right? So it's not just I just think it and then it happens. I think mm-hmm. it, I take a few steps and then it happens. So it's like there's I have to take some kind of an action for things to happen. And so that kind of applies into how I've been thinking about my life. It's like, okay, things aren't just going to happen for me if I think it enough. Like I do have to put in that work. And I've definitely had periods of like immobility where I'm just like so completely overwhelmed, so completely depressed, where I'm like, mm-hmm. I literally can't do anything right now. I literally cannot submit another application. I literally cannot talk to another person. I can't be social. I can't, like, it's just like completely immobilized. But the things happen when you take an action. And I think mm-hmm. that in this way, that applies to everybody. It's like, I have yet to meet a person that is able to just like manifest things by simply thinking them. Like, and not to get woo-woo, but it's like, you do have to take an action unless you tell somebody or unless you put your order in at the counter. No one's going to know what you want, but you have to mm-hmm. physically do the thing that's going to tell the person, the universe, whatever, that this is what you're working towards and this is what you want.
Well, no, and it's funny because, like talking to people, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a passion of mine. And mm-hmm. maybe people aren't on social media, whatever. They don't know that I do that. Me talking to people about, oh, yeah, over the weekend I did a wedding, blah, blah, blah. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, I didn't even know you did that. You know, and it's like, oh, well, so-and-so's getting married. You know, like sometimes it just takes talking to people and sometimes, mm-hmm. like sitting and waiting for your mental health in order to be able to have those conversations. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it's there is a purpose to rest. And she talks about this in the video too. It's like rest is also an action. There sometimes mm-hmm. is it's necessary to learn how to rest to rebuild so you can take the action.
Exactly. Yeah. Rest is productive.
Rest is productive and you don't have to earn it.
Yeah, exactly. If we learned anything from this episode, rest is productive and my time is expensive.
My time is expensive. People make money off of my time.
Full circle.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this wild ride of a movie and also just some fun little chit-chat and Benny's.
And some little chit-chat and Benny's happening. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share the pod with your family, friends, neighbors. We're real happy you joined us today.
Yes. Thanks for joining us. It's been a blast.
It's been a blast, folks.
A blast.
Okay. Love you guys. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks, it's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.